This is a replay of the Tuesday night, July 1st WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together and a lot to discuss. Yeah, that's for sure. Actually, I've got two bumpers to play as requests, which will be the first two tonight. And then we're going to devote the rest of the show to the whispers. And unfortunately, you know why. Walter Scott passed away, and we started to briefly touch on that last night. But I want to do a little more, because this is another case where by the time they were having their top 10 hits, well, for me, it was already over. Yeah, it was the early stuff, especially the stuff on Dory. And it's interesting that in all the obits they talk about, the labels the whispers were on, and not a one of them mentions Dory. So we'll get into all of that tonight. But before we do, a couple things. We're going to be talking with Gail in Michigan about Mose Allison, and Naoto in Japan with my Myers-Briggs results, because I have them here. I promised I'd take the test. And there's a few other things as well that I promised. But what I was saying during the news, that was just one of those things that is utterly astounding to me, is not only how people willingly disclose highly sensitive material online. Now, of course, I think people know not to, you know, post certain things on forums and all that. But what's happening now with AI is people are putting sensitive medical data in, looking for, symptoms and thoughts like that, not realizing that most likely all of that is going into the cloud and never going away. Likewise, for financial data, maybe you're doing a salary comparison or whatever, and next thing you know, your salary is up there and all that. Well, that's bad enough, all right? But, the onus is on you not to do that. What's frightening to me is in recent surveys, employees have been sharing customer data with AI venues, including names, email addresses, and more, to simplify work tasks. Now, you know there's been a lot of high-profile data breaches. And you know, sadly, in America, you don't own your own identity. So like when you're using a credit card, the credit card really owns those transactions, not you. So they can do anything they want with it. But when you see how much data breaching there is, it's really frightening to see that over 1 in 4 employees is absolutely using AI. It's amazing. 3 in 10 are relying on it to draft emails, draft documents, analyze contracts. No formal company policy on this. Obviously, when you're analyzing the contract, all of the data's up there, and they're, you know, about 25% have just no reservation whatsoever doing this. And so you now have some people who are in some firms who are starting to look at how it's being used in the workplace. But when I was reading this, it never had occurred to me until now that, oh my God, it's not only what you're putting up there, but what corporations you interact with may be putting up there. And I would think businesses need to urgently draft some policies here. Yeah, because 25% of the employees are saying, well, sure, I use AI all the time. It simplifies my job. Yeah. So there you have it. All right. There's a lot more to that, and I'll leave that to a more serious venue. But be aware and be afraid, very afraid, and do what you can to minimize what you can. Though I guess the point of all this is there's some things you're just not going to be able to minimize. All right. So I did that. I prepared for a number of things, but I've lost the magic twanger here. So let me find that. Yes. So I can welcome Gail from Michigan to WGN Radio. How's it going, Gail?
Well, hi. It's good to talk to you.
Yes, what's happening?
The reason I haven't called in for a while is I, catch this, I fell off the toilet.
No.
And broke three ribs.
Oh, no. Oh,
the
no.
Worst.
It is the worst.
The worst.
They can
the
do
worst,
nothing for
the
you.
Worst. The worst.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know I have MS, but I'm fine. I mean, if you saw me, you'd never know I had MS. Okay? But I slipped.
Oh, no.
And whoa. So I have sort of been out of it for a while.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It is really painful.
It is painful, sometimes. And there's nothing they can do for it.
Zero.
Right.
Zero.
They used to tape people, but then they found out it sometimes led to pneumonia, so they don't tape too often anymore.
It's really terrible. It's
yeah.
The worst thing I've had.
Oh yeah, breathing, laughing, coughing. Oh my God. Yeah, all bad.
Yeah. So anyway, but I have had Mose Allison on my mind.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I love him. I haven't seen him in ages. I used to go and see him at the Jazz Showcase in Chicago.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of his?
So a lot of the stuff that he did, usually other people recording it, everybody from Georgie Fame to Leon Russell. So yeah, it's interesting. And Ben Sidran was on some of his stuff. I like Ben Sidran. So yeah, there's quite a few things. And of course, he's been gone now. It's coming up on almost 10 years.
I know, and I love his lyrics. I love. Your mind is on vacation.
Yeah.
So working overtime.
Yeah.
Or I especially like, meet me at no special place and I'll be there at no special time.
Yeah. You know,
I love that.
It's interesting that, unfortunately, he falls victim to what some very talented people join him, and that's that the record labels never knew how to market him. You know, some would try to make him a pop star, and others would try to make him blues or whatever, but he didn't fit, you know, an easy mold, which is why he was great, but it's also why a lot of that stuff wasn't commercially successful. The guy wrote over 150
yeah.
songs. So,
oh my God.
So yeah, and that ironic sense of humor, it comes through in a lot of them, as far as that goes. And you know, long before there was a Bob Dylan or a Randy Newman or any of that, there was a Mose Allison.
Yeah, that incredible. I once brought some friends of mine to see him, and they didn't get him at all.
Really?
Okay? They just didn't get it. They were what my father, Daddy Jazz, used to call tin ears.
Yeah.
Tin ears, he used to call them. They didn't get him. So they're watching him, and they're just not picking up on him at all.
Yeah.
And that was really, you know, that was kind of depressing.
But fortunately, in his lifetime, a lot of people revered him, and he knew it. And he made it to 89. He died in Hilton Head in South Carolina, so he was living pretty well. He had a good life, a good marriage, a good kids, and quite a lot of success among other artists, more than the general population. So he had a good life.
Yeah. Well, I thought he might be one of. Yeah. Somebody you might be interested in.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd call up and say hello.
We will get some on this week for sure. Not tonight, because I'll probably be doing the whispers all night, because I was just aghast that when Walter Scott died, they mentioned everything but the Dory label in their early stuff. So we got to go over some of that. But betcha. I will get Mose Allison this week. In fact, somebody else, I've got it here somewhere, had requested I play some. So you betcha I will. But I'm so glad to hear from you, Gail. And take care of yourself. You know, the worst place to fall, as you found out, is the bathroom, because it's so hard, as far as that goes.
Can you believe this?
Yes, I can.
I'm lying on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay. My husband is walking the dog.
Oh.
I'm lying on the floor by myself.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is it.
Right. That would be the tiled floor, no doubt. And tile is 100% unforgiving. And nothing's colder than not being able to move when you're on tile. Oh, I know. Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, as we get older, our ribs are more fragile and not unusual. You know, if you were 15, nothing would have happened. You're our age. Well, there go three ribs.
Right.
Oh,
right,
man.
Right. Well, anyway, as always, it's lovely to talk to you.
Likewise, and I hope to hear from you soon, Gail.
Okay,
thanks.
Great.
All right, good
thanks
deal.
Thanks a lot.
So, we'll keep Gail in our prayers. Because, it doesn't sound like it's serious when you say broke three ribs, but I'll tell you what, happens to you, oh, man, is it painful. I hope they're giving her good drugs. All right, so we'll get to Marianne in Chicago. NATO in Japan, though, I did the Myers-Briggs test, and actually did three of them because two of them online turned out not to be Myers-Briggs. So I can tell you about the Enneagram, too, and we'll get to all that and more, and we'll get to, I got an email. I got several emails, but I actually read one today, and let me find it here, because it was very nice, and she listens to the show, Karen in Tennessee, and she says, for a bumper, would you please play I Wish by Skilo, released in 1995. The Gen Xers in your audience will probably appreciate it. The intro to the full song is cute and features a fictional DJ. I think my version is somewhat bifurcated on that, but I did have it on this computer, and Karen in Tennessee and you will hear Skilo next on WGN Radio.
Station WSKEE. We're taking calls on the wish line, making your wacky wishes come true.
Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat, a 6-4 baller. I wish I was like 6'9", so I could get with Leoshi, cause she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine. You know, I see her all the time, everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat, her boyfriend's tall, and he plays ball, so how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases, never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall, or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch their man ball. Dag y'all, I never understood black, why the jocks get the fly girls, and me, I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, kabobble. Got hit with a bottle, went to the hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses, like quick, got sick to my stomach. Overcome it by thoughts of me and her together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't that type. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl with a good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I had a brand new car, so far I got this hatchback. And everywhere I go, your wife gets laughed at. And when I'm in my car, I'm laid back. I got an 8-track and a spare tire in the back seat, but that's flat. And you wanna know what's really whack? See, I can't even get a date, so what you think of that? I heard that prom night is a bomb night.
WGN Radio, that's Skilo. And I thought it was a great song, I Wish, 1995, and yet it was already on this audio computer, so I figured, yeah, why not? Karen wants to hear it, you betcha. I thought the lyrics were clever. I Wish came out, and then the guy disappears. And, you know, I think he's going to be doing some great things, and he's doing nothing. Well, there's a story. All right, his name is Antoine Roundtree, by the way, and he was born in Chicago, but raised in his early years in Poughkeepsie, and then the family moved to Riverside County, and he went to Moreno Valley High School. And in 1990, he moves to L.A. to go to El Camino College, and two things happens. He converts to Islam, joining the Nation of Islam, and he starts rapping. All right, so 5 years later, he's got a record deal, and his debut album, I Wish, is released, and he'd been working on that for 2 years. The album was a huge success, and he disappears 5 months later. So what happened? I'll tell you what happened. His record label, apparently, according to what he says, took all the credit and all the money from the album's success, and he did not make a single cent. And so he refused to shoot any more videos, record any more songs, promote any more music. He said, I'm not their slave. I wasn't working for free. He sued them. And it took, man, it took a good decade before he won the rights in the label in against the label in court. And he did. So, yeah. But in the meantime, we were deprived some obviously very tasty lyrics on that early stuff. Top of the Stairs was in the ending credits of the movie Money Train from 1995. So he had a great future in front of him. And hopefully he will again. But so Karen in Tennessee wanted to hear that. And now she has. All right. So Marianne in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Okay. I'm sorry I haven't been able to listen for a while, but Gail, I can sympathize with you. Oh, my God. Back in, remember when I told you in 2020, those doctors gave me a combination of pills and I kept falling down?
Yes.
Well, my little dog was such a stinker. She'd want to get in bed, and she could jump in bed.
Right.
But no, she'd sit down there, ew, 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 and I'd go to get her, and she'd scoot away.
Right.
Well, she went in the corner by the closet, and I'm like, okay, now I got you. Right when I went to bend over to get her, I fell with such force.
Oh, God.
And I landed on, I had this really sturdy storage box that goes under a bed.
Oh.
And I caught my rib on the corner of
it. Uh-huh. Snap, and, you know, crackle, and pop. Yes, indeed.
I screamed out loud, I broke my rib.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm surprised you could get those words out. Usually I just conjugate a series of four-letter words while I'm screaming.
That was it. After that, it was like very little words.
Yeah.
Get out of bed just to go to the bathroom. If I was thirsty, I could only take like one or two sips.
Yeah.
Because whatever was cracked was by my stomach.
No, of course. No, we don't realize how active our torso is until we've broken a rib. And there is absolutely nothing you do that doesn't involve that damn rib.
No.
So I know.
If I had food, I had to take a little bite, chew it up real good, and then wait a couple hours.
Well, and pray to God you didn't have a coughing fit.
Oh, yeah. And when I sneeze,
I sneeze
3, 4, 5 times in a row.
No. You got, and God forbid anything makes you laugh.
Oh, yeah, I know. But the one good thing that came out of it, I lost 8 pounds.
I'll bet. Yeah.
My friends are like, oh, my God.
I'll bet.
I didn't notice it, but they all noticed it when I came out of hiding, and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I look pretty good, don't I? But I don't want to lose weight that way no more.
No, absolutely. That's not the diet of choice. You betcha. All right, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
And we'll do the news, and Naoto's on hold. We're going to go over my Myers-Briggs. We'll find out if he agrees with it. I don't know if I do. And the Enneagram test I accidentally took. All that and more is coming up on WGN Radio.
The way you want me to, but I just to make you
Radio. I'm Raleigh James in Cleveland, Dennis. They play something by The Hesitations, and I think of everything they did, my favorite was Yes, I'm Ready. 1969, GWP, that was Jerry Purcell's label, and they did a lot of stuff like, you know, Born Free and stuff like that, but man, when they redid Yes, I'm Ready, I was, that is a good record, so there you go. Hope you enjoyed it. All right, from here on out, it will be all whispers all the time tonight as we play the stuff that the other obits don't even bother to mention. All right, so Marianne, back to Marianne. All right, so I understand you have some sad news.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know if any of your Chicago area listeners mentioned that last week Sister Rosemary died.
Oh, no.
You know who that is, right?
Yeah, yeah, so...
What a woman to single-handedly build a campus.
Yeah, no, that was Mundelein, yeah, in Mundelein. Yeah.
No, there's one on the south side, and then there's one over here by me at Devon and Ridge.
Okay.
And that's the big campus that had 200 residents on it.
Yep. See, Rosemary Connolly. Yeah.
What I had the pleasure to be able to speak with her several times because my mother's neighbor, when she passed away, left her house to Misericordia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was excellent because there were no stairs. The
Perfect.
Sidewalk went on a slope all the way up to the front door.
Perfect.
But they couldn't use it because it wasn't big enough for two residents and a caregiver.
Okay.
But one of their employees, like their handyman, bought it.
Oh, good.
And let me tell you, to get a house in that location for under $300,000?
Yeah.
And he really lucked out. He had to do a lot of work on it, but he could do it all himself. And every once in a while when I come by with the dogs, he goes, come on in, I want to show you what I did this time. So I go home and tell my mother, oh, my God, you should see what Andy's done to Angela's house. She goes, he asked you in?
Yeah.
And I go, yeah. She goes, I go by there all the time. You don't ask me in.
Yeah. Well.
But they used to have the family day in September, where they open the campus with rides, games, all kinds of vendors, all kinds of food, all kinds of music, and now everybody just has a good time.
No, that's great. And, you know, she made it to, I think, like 94. So
A
life well lived. She joined the sisters at 18 years old and then later was the administrator of Misericordia, as you mentioned. And I think the thing that I read in one of the obits was that a week before she died, she was at Misericordia thanking the volunteers. She wanted to make sure she did that before she left.
You know, that's funny you said that because they have Tag Day here.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, make a donation and they give you a little bag of these little jelly beans.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to the man that was, you know, collecting, and I said, how's Sister Rosemary doing? He says, well, she doesn't come out of her apartment much anymore.
Yeah. But she made it a point to do that when she knew it would be the last time.
See, what a classy lady, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, even the Pope weighed in, and, of course, he knew her.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
She started on the south side with 60-some residents. And I guess she left that in somebody else's hand and then came over here and opened this campus. And it's immaculate. It's immaculate. The grass is always kept nice. The little townhomes are beautiful.
Yeah, and I think what drove her in this direction was she had had a brother who had brain damage, and that inspired her to get more services for adults with disabilities, because very often there's things for kids, but by the time people are adults, often all they are is warehoused, and
right.
She was going to make sure that didn't happen.
And a lot of the residents that are able have jobs there.
Sure.
They work in the restaurant, they work in the making things for the gift shop.
Sure. No reason why not. Absolutely.
Work in the bakery, and it makes them feel so good, you know?
Sure. No, it's good. It's good for everybody. And, you know, that's something that I absolutely support with even disabled teens and stuff like that. You know, I don't care if they know geography or geometry, but if there's something like, you know, restaurant work that they can learn in trade tech things, by all means, do it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, you're right. And the thing is, when you eat there, oh, my God, they have such good food.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do not take tips, but they have a big jar at the front cashier. They want you to put the money in there.
Interesting.
And I asked one of the waitresses, I go, you really can't take a tip? I go, no. I did put money in the jar. And she goes, oh, no, they have a big party for us at the end of the year.
Good.
So.
All right. Well, good.
I figured you'd know who she was.
Yeah, I did. But I knew that she was way up there, but I missed the news that she passed.
Yeah. And the Chicago Bears are a great supporter of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at one time, the Bulls used to come there and practice on their basketball court.
Wouldn't be surprised. Had. Yeah. Yeah, and it's good for everybody.
Yes, it is. And when they have the Family Fest, they open up the parking lot to S&C Electric.
Yeah.
And you park there, and then shuttle buses take you right to the grounds.
Perfect.
My father worked at S&C Electric back in the 50s and 60s. That place is huge.
Absolutely.
Half a mile long down Ridge Avenue. I'm like, oh, my God, they must have had to wear skates in the days to go to one end to the other.
Really, not a bad idea. All right, well, thanks for that, and good to talk to you.
Oh, and I did think that I Wish song was really nice.
Oh, good. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I love the lyrics, and I'm glad he got his rights back, but I don't know what it's meant for him because I haven't heard any new stuff from him. I don't know if he's going to be back to it, but good for him for standing up and saying, the hell, you'll get my work for free. I applaud it. All right, thanks.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Okay, bye. All right, so now the time has come, to quote the Whispers, actually. We'll be playing that. For me to talk to Naoto in Japan. So, Naoto, thanks for calling back.
Yeah.
So, what do you think?
I'm really looking forward to hearing the results.
What do you think I am?
I'm guessing you are either INTP or ENTP, maybe.
ENTJ.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, ENTJ, 1.8% of people are ENTJs, and 1.5% are women. Yes, that's known as the orchestrator, the commander, the strategist. And I had no idea. An elite group known as engineers. My mind is a nexus of strategic brilliance and decisive action. You know, I find this so funny because usually I just want to take a nap. So I don't know about being a decisive leader unless it's where's the couch. But I'm a charismatic influencer. Well, that'll be the day. All right. Relentless innovator, efficient organizer. I'm like, who is this person? Strategic visionary. I'm moderate on all of this. When they have little scores where they talk about how much you are of any of it. And let me find them here. Because I was real surprised because when it came for one of them, intuition versus sensing, they decided that I was 42% intuition. Then for decision making, I'm 63% thinking. For energy, I'm 59% extroverted, and the judging, I'm 64% judgmental, I guess. So that's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me, I guess. Moderately extroverted, moderately intuitive, moderately analytical and thinking, moderately whatever, judging and structured. So that's what I am. So now, as I say, it took me 3 tries for this because there were tests online that swore they were the Myers-Briggs, but they weren't. Now, one of them was the Enneagram. And so I'm here to tell you that I am a type 8 on the Enneagram, which is supposedly another moderately uncommon, more common in men, as usual, most uncommon in women. Type 8 is the challenger. Sense of strength and power? No. Yeah. Desire for autonomy and control? Well, if that includes desire for being left alone, that's me. Fear of vulnerability and weakness? Not a chance. I admit to being totally vulnerable at any time. Assertiveness and direct communication. Yeah, well, I probably will tell you what I think. Protective and supportive nature. Okay, I'll take that. Confrontation and conflict resolution. No, I'd be more likely to throw up my hands and say, you guys figure it out and let me know. So courage and resilience, struggle with vulnerability. I have fears. Is the dread of being vulnerable. And no, I don't know. But okay, so that's what I am. I'm a type 8 and I am an ENTJ. Now we know.
Oh, you mean, you said type A?
Type 8.
Type 8. Oh, okay.
Yeah, type 8 on Enneagram. There's 9 types. And I'm a type 8. That's the challenger.
Yeah, I took the Enneagram before, but I can't remember which type I was. So
well,
I might retook the test again.
Yeah, take it again. There's the reformer, the helper, the achiever, the individual. On that other one I took, I think I came out as an achiever, but that was a weird test. Individualist, the investigator, the loyalist, the enthusiast, challenger, and peacemaker.
So now
we know. I don't know who the hell would hire me, but thank God I'm not looking for work.
Yeah, but it was very interesting. You are like Jay, you know, judging.
I guess.
Yeah, I thought you are definitely P types, but apparently not.
I don't know why. You know, I just answered the questions. Well, you know, a lot of these questions, you know, they had like 5 choices, you know, very, moderately, neutral, and then very and moderately on the other side. Mm. I was neutral on more than half of those questions.
Yeah, same can be said for me.
Yeah, it's like, you know, who cares? And so that's why I was surprised that I was, so much of an orchestrator. I'm like, no, I'm a napper. So I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Maybe in another life.
You're definitely charismatic, so...
Oh, yeah. I don't know. There are some people who would not call me charismatic, but on the air, maybe. Yeah. Well, so now you know, and thanks for having me take it. If you've got anything else you want me to take, obviously I'm game.
a lot of interesting tests, like Big 5 and the last night... One caller I was talking about, wandering tests, but I think, they're accurate, but it's not like as fun as MBTI, so.
Yeah, I don't know, but now you know, and it was fun, thanks for recommending it.
You're welcome, so I really appreciate you took the time to, teach these tests, so.
Sure.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Absolutely, we'll talk to you soon, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Thanks so much.
All right, so Raleigh, the ENTJ. Yeah, commander and strategist. No, I'm telling you, I'm a napper. I'm a great napper. So, yeah, I was talking to a friend, and I said, well, don't worry about it. Just do nothing. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, sit on the couch and stare at the wall for a few hours. She said, I can't do that. I said, why not? You know, I can, with no trouble at all. What are you doing, Raleigh? I'm staring at the wall. Yeah, so I guess they didn't have any questions that would have brought forth that reaction, though. All right. You struggle with getting good reception in your home. I'm not talking about AM or FM now. I'm talking about your broadband, your wireless router, your wireless access point. You know, it works when you're in front of it. Maybe it works in the next room. But how about if you're 3 or 4 rooms over? What about then? Well, that's not a problem until you have a Wi-Fi radio and you can't pick anything up. Well, you will with a CC Wi-Fi 3. Now, firstly, the audio is better than any smartphone in the world. And the best part is there's no apps. There's nothing to sign up. There's no microphone. There's no ads, no monthly fee. It's got everything. And it works just like a radio station, only instead of your local radio stations, you get stations from all over the United States and the world, as well as so many things that are online only. I mean, hours and hours and hours. Thank God they didn't have this in 1957, or I never would have made it out out of junior high. I'd have been in my room. So it's got superior reception for a much greater distance, and you'll like that. But what I think you're really going to like, other than the panoply of choices here, but what you're really going to like is the fact that it's intuitive and easy. Yeah, you don't even need to read the manual. It's just great. So you can go online to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. You look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. I think you're going to like it. We've got them in both studios, and John uses them with no trouble whatsoever. Now, if you can't go online, you're probably thinking about the Wi-Fi 3 as a gift for a friend or maybe a kid or grandkid, and they make great gifts. You can call them. They'll answer all your questions. They'll send you a catalog in the mail, too. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But I assume you can go online. And if you go to ccradio.com, you'll see what I'm saying about the CC Wi-Fi 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
And I will die. Oh, if you believe me. So, baby, come on and kiss me. Come on and give me life, please. Let me. You gave my life. Oh, you gave it to me. And that's why it's to you. Yes, it is. It's to you that I'm leaving. That's why my heart, that's why my heart is singing. Oh, please come and kiss me. Give me life, let me live. I wanna dedicate my life to you. Yes, I do. I wanna be by your side my whole life. To you all the things that you crave. I want to work for you, baby, for the rest of my days. Oh,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. You know, when that came out in 1966, it was like dying and going to heaven. I literally stopped breathing when I heard it. I liked it so much. Huggy Boy played it. I'm like, what is that? All right, and of course I was familiar with the Whispers because they'd had a few other wonderful things on Dory, many of which we'll play. But when that came out, man, that was my song. Yeah, I Was Born When You Kissed Me, 1966 on Dory. And of course, we'll be playing Whispers all night tonight. And in a way, I'm sorry to say that because, of course, Walter Scott is no longer with us. But as I say, all of the obits, they list things like, you know, the musician was known for the tracks and the beat goes on. He worked with record companies, including Soul Train, Solar, and Capitol. By the way, they spelled that wrong. But I thought, well, let's review this, shall we? They were on Dory, and then they went to Soul Clock, some really nice things on Soul Clock. And then they went to Janis. There were a few things on Roker, too, but the Janis, some of the Janis stuff was nice. Not as good as the Dory, but really nice. And then they went to Soul Train in the mid-70s, as far as that goes. But, yeah, they actually even had something on RCA, but not much. Most of the stuff was later on Solar. That was the deal. And then more on RCA as time went on. But in any event, that early stuff, which was just, man, to me, it's just what made the Whispers. And they're formed in 1964. And Watts, and the twins, Wallace Scott and Walter Scott, yeah, Scotty and Walter, plus Gordy Harmon, Marcus Hudson, and Nick Caldwell. Oh man, that was a deal. In 73, Gordy had injured his larynx, and it was an accident, and I think it was like a motor accident, but, you know, driving. But he was replaced. He was replaced by Label Degree. And, you know, I've talked many times about how poor Label, just right before they had their big hit, he was arrested for mail theft. But it was a long story. And believe me, he regretted it. But nonetheless, timing was everything on that. You know, there it was, December 27th, 1979. That's the only headline, you know. If they hadn't had that hit, probably no one would have known. But all right. So Marcus Hudson left in 92. He had prostate cancer. And when he died in 2000, they said, we're never going to replace him. We'll be a quartet. And that's what it was, because it was, you know, five guys before that. And so that pretty much was it. And the Scott twins and, you know, Label and all that were around for a real long time. Nick Caldwell, sadly, died congestive heart failure about a decade ago now. But they were active for over 50 years and a bunch of albums. But like I say, those Dory singles, and that was 64 to 67, or the Soul Clock stuff, which was about 68 to 70, or, you know, the Janis stuff, and that was 71 to 74. Those were the records, as far as I'm concerned. They were on Capitol later in the 90s, and Interscope and all that, but that was much later. But they had 49 singles in the R&B chart, and of course, we're not going to play any of those, you know, And a Beat Goes On, or Seems Like I Got to Do Wrong, or Rock Steady, or even Lady. Great song, but you'll hear that everywhere. We'll be playing the stuff you maybe won't hear as often. So that'll be a lot of fun, but sadly, the reason is very sad. So rest in peace, Walter Scott. Yeah, diagnosed with cancer 6 months ago, and it already spread to the point that there wasn't much anybody was going to do. And he made it for 6 months, but sadly died around family in the San Fernando Valley where he was living. So rest in peace. We'll get to Sherry right after the news. We're going to talk about whatever's on Sherry's mind. Eduardo in Tampa. And Cindy's going to tell us that Jimmy Swaggart died. Oh, yeah. Well, it was bound to happen. We'll talk about all that and more coming up next year. I know. Missensitivity here. Well, that wasn't in the, Myers-Briggs category. I don't know who would be missensitivity, but clearly it wasn't me. All right. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. Continue to play Whispers records as we celebrate, oh, the Scott twins. And sadly, yeah, now Scotty is alone, sadly, with the news that Walter passed away last week. And it's not totally surprising, unfortunately, because he was diagnosed with cancer about 6 months ago, and it was coming. But nonetheless, truly sad. And of course, Marcus Hudson, Gordy Harmon, no longer with us, and Nick Caldwell. But the group continues. Legal Degree still very much in place, as is Scotty, plus plus others. So I hope I didn't just kill anybody in terms of that, but I'm pretty sure that those are the vitals on them. And of course, my favorite period, Dory. But Soul Clock had some wonderful stuff too. Because now, first one I played, I Was Born When You Kissed Me, was the one that just knocked me out in 66 more than anything else. But now I'm sort of doing them in chronological order. And Never Again was I think their first single on Dory in 1964. I saw some obits. Nobody mentioned Dory, but some obits said they first started recording in 65. I thought, well, I guess they missed It Only Hurts for a Little While and Never Again. But we'll pick it up with a dip next. Okay, so 888-876-5593. Sherry is in Naperville. So, Sherry, what's happening tonight?
Hey, I'm hoping Naoto is not in the shower, because I think in Japan it's like 8 or 9. But I'm intrigued by Naoto because she's from Japan. And in graduate school at MSU, I had a Japanese sweet mate. And she taught me some words. And my actual roommate was the editor of a Hispanic newspaper and also another campus newspaper. And she was never around. And Mika's roommate, my Japanese sweet mate, was a bitter person. And Mika would come to my ear. But anyway, so Mika would teach me some words and phrases. And so I wanted to say it in Naoto, a few things. One of them is konnichiwa, which I think is hello. And the second one is oyasumimasai, which is have a good night and see you tomorrow. But, what I loved about Michigan State versus Northern when I went to undergrad, we had like 4 or 5 different nationalities at school. But at Michigan State, they were from all over the world. And you learned so much about their culture and their habits and everything. I mean, it was just so intriguing to me personally. A lot of people would ignore it. But, their burial ceremonies, I was freaked out about. Mika told me when my grandfather died, my grandmother had to take when they would cremate sort of halfway, so the bones are still left. And they had these, she said, what do you call it? You eat your rice with and everything, your Chinese rice. Not tongs.
Chopsticks.
Chopsticks, thank you very much. But they had these long chopsticks, and then everybody would be in line. And so the wife had to take the skull, and then everybody else had to take something else. And Mika ended up with her grandfather's thigh bone, I think it was. And I'm like, you're kidding me. What do you do with that? But anyway, it was just a breath of fresh air. And she taught me, she told me about the 5 different types of love. One is agape, another one is phileo. I can't remember. I mean, this was 40 years ago. Sorry. That's why I can't remember. But, I love all cultures that I learn about. And and that's why Naoto brings back these memories.
All right.
And I'm so grateful that he's been calling you.
Yeah, it's terrific. And I can give you another word to add to your vocabulary. It's the only one I knew, which is arigato, which is thank you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Arigato. Yeah, it's...
There was another one I didn't want to mention.
No. Konnichiwa, I've heard
about. You want to go to the bus?
Yeah, well, we'll forget about that. All right, well, always good to hear from you. Glad you enjoyed Naoto. I'm sure he'll be calling again soon.
I do.
All right.
I mean, because it brings back so many memories.
All right.
And I'm glad, you know, David and I were listening to you took that test.
Yes.
And I don't remember Briggs Myers. But we both agreed that describes you pretty much, except for one category that I don't think you're that high on the scale on. And I can't remember what it was. But
I don't think any of it describes me, but I'll take it. What the heck? They didn't have a category for world-class napping, and there was nothing about staring at the wall and thinking about nothing. But if there was, I excel like you wouldn't believe. All right.
And then the girl that called yesterday, I don't remember her name, but she was talking about, and when I took such and such tests, I was in a, and she thought it was Briggs Myers.
Myers-Briggs,
yeah. She's older, like me. And she said, they said I should either be an accountant or this or that or the other.
Ah.
And in my day, you took this Cudor test. I think it was K-U-D-O-R. And it asked you what you liked to do and what you didn't like to do or something like that. And then it determined what areas you would be good at. And so I'm betting it's a K-U-D-O-R test.
I don't know. All they had when I was in school was they had the California Test of Mental Maturity and they had Stanford Binet, and that was it. And I do remember that apparently I aced it in the county, and my mother promptly told them they must have mixed me up with another child.
So you went to school in California?
No,
in the early?
I went to school in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm weird because in California they let you get to kindergarten before you were five, if you were four.
Well, right. And actually, I started out there. That's why I was young when I started. But no, we moved to Florida because
me too.
We thought we were going back to Bolivia, but we didn't, and we got stuck there. So yeah, Florida. All right,
Bolivia.
Well, my dad was Bolivian. See, this is a long story. Anyway,
oh, wow.
So
that's another thing to explore. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right, so yeah, and we expected to go, and then it didn't turn out okay, and so boy, didn't it. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and we've got Cindy in Chicago. All right, Cindy, what's up?
Well, I guess I had an incident after. I want to talk about Jimmy Swagger, but anyhow. But then anyhow, Chuck had just passed away, and I was like trying to get out of my funk, and I'm like, well, I'm going to start doing spring cleaning. And I took some stuff out of the closet and brought it downstairs and went down the basement steps and didn't hold on to the banister and missed the last step and fell and slightly cracked my coccyx.
Okay.
And it was just really painful. I had to sit on a donut for, I think, uh-huh, 8 weeks.
Yeah.
I never broke my ribs, but,
Well, there's still time. As you get older, don't be surprised.
I cleaned the bathroom, was it Sunday? And I told Mike I almost lost my balance twice.
Mm.
But then anyhow, Jim, as far as Jimmy Swagger, in my 20s, I watched him on TV. I turned it on, I thought religion on TV. That was Jim Baker's TV station?
Yeah, that was the PTL club, Jim Baker and Tammy Faye.
Oh, no, not Jim Baker, the other one. He owned the TV station.
Oh, the guy in Norfolk. I can't think of his name right now. Why not? I can't. I can see his face. Pat Robertson.
He sold it for $1 billion.
Oh, there are so many. There are just so many. But, Jimmy Swaggart's family tree is unbelievable. For one thing, it doesn't fork. All right, they're all related. They're all, as far as that goes.
Yeah, the one time I never turned it on after this. But then anyhow, he said he was playing the piano, religious music, and he said he was Jerry Lee Lewis.
He was.
Cousin,
he was.
And, well, this is what he said. And
he was.
Jerry Lewis, was like spawn of Satan for like being the birth of rock and roll.
Well, meanwhile, Jimmy Swaggart was caught twice in Kenner, yeah, by the airport with Hooker. So absolutely.
Right.
But yeah, he was Jerry Lee Lewis, and also don't forget what's his name? His other cousin, Mickey Gilley.
I don't know who that is.
Well, you look him up, Mickey Gilley.
All right.
In any event, yes, we all know about Jimmy.
But then I read that, you know, when I was in my 20s, I read it in the Chicago, and this one man was like, you know, in the Chicago, you know, he wrote a column, he's like, well, one day Jimmy Swagger is going to get me to convert, and then the scandal came out.
Mm. All right.
I don't know. Oh, and then the other thing is my aunt in Indiana, you know, they were getting older, and they were going to, was that the PTL,
they were going to go to Heritage Village?
Yeah, they were.
Oh,
she
my God.
The down payment.
Oh, yes, well, outside, you know, of Charlotte. I've been, by the way, absolutely. Tammy Faye had a gift shop and a clothing store, and she got most of the clothing from Walmart and just changed the price tags.
And then I stopped watching, you know, I would watch it. I don't know, it was on TV, you know, I was religious. And, you know, I figured it out, though. They said in the Chicago Tribune, she had, well, back then it was a lot of money. She had a $125 Gucci pen.
Oh, well, that was minor. You haven't even gotten to the air-conditioned doghouse for the poodle.
Yeah, and then what else was I going to say? Yeah, my aunt, yeah, she was going to go there. They put the down payment on it.
Mm, good.
On the,
glad she didn't go, but yes, I toured.
Were you going to move?
Hell no. Are you kidding? No, for a while, televangelists were kind of a hobby of mine, and I knew all of them, absolutely every one of them. And, you know, I even had hot clocks for them. I knew at what time they were going to beg during the quarter hour. But anyhow, I absolutely knew them all, and didn't miss a one of them. And believe me, Tammy Faye was small potatoes compared to some of them. But yeah, they're
Now they got this one, what is her name, Joyce Myers?
Oh, she's been around forever now. This is an interesting story about her. She was actually around 40 years ago because my post office box in Denver was next to hers. I would get mail. No, I didn't keep the checks. But anyway, we were both out of the same post office in downtown Denver. It was open 24 hours a day then. But yes, so Joyce Meyer Ministry has been around forever. But those are not the colorful ones. Believe me, there are some people who are just not to be believed. And many of them are still on television.
But you know what she confessed? I turned it. You know, I don't watch her. I just had it on for a few minutes because I watch jewelry TV and it's on 62.
Uh-huh, jewelry television. That sounds exciting. But yes.
Yeah, but that's it. Anyhow, she confessed that she, after her what do you call it, her whatever, her where she would have those conventions.
Mm.
After the convention, she would get her money. She would go out to the mall and hit the mall and like clean out the whole mall.
Mm.
That's what she would do.
Well, my favorite was the Reverend Roosevelt Franklin and his wife Delano, the Prosperity Hour. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Creflo Dollar was always a lot of fun. There's so many, you know. Of course, Robert Tilton. Don't forget Robert. So Peter Popoff and the guy from Grace Cathedral.
Yeah,
Hill. I forget
crazy.
His name right now. Ernest Angley. Ernest Angley. Can't forget. And Benny Hinn in Orlando. Benny Hinn, yeah. Uh-huh. There's many of them.
But anyhow, they said tonight on the new on WGN that Jimmy Swagger would get $150 million a year until the scandal came out, and that it was only $11 million, and his two sons are still doing it and took over.
Well, yeah. I mean, it pays. There was a show on WRVA in Richmond, 50,000 watts, Richmond, Richmond, Virginia, and the radio evangelist died. I mean, he just died. So his family continued for over 20 years to pay to air that show because the donations didn't stop. There's tons of these stories, but yes, rest in peace, Jimmy Swaggart. You gave us a lot of laughs. You weren't intending to, but man, did you! So you know, I'll tell you that first thing on Airline Highway in Kenner, that came out because it was retaliatory. He had accused another minister in Assemblies of God of having all these affairs. And so they defrocked that guy. And so at that point, Marvin Gorman was out to get him. And actually, Swaggart gave him about almost $2 million. But what the deal was, Gorman hired his son and son-in-law to monitor the travel in, like I say, on Airline Highway. And sure enough, they photographed Swaggart outside of room 7. That was Deborah Murphy. And so that was the first one, but not the last. So yes indeed.
And, well, he would cry, you know. And then I had my German friend. She moved. She lives in a condo like me across town, and I haven't seen her. But she would. I told her, "You watch Jimmy." She would watch Jimmy Swaggart and say, "Oh, I'm forgiven."
Oh, please, no. But the second time was in Indio. And Swaggart was pulled over by a cop in the Inland Empire in California for driving on the wrong side of the road. And while the cop stopped him, they noticed that he had a hooker in the car. And in fact,
I remember.
Yeah,
that
right,
story.
Right. And she said she admitted it. She said, "That's what I do. I'm a prostitute." And so the first time he was very tearful and all that. The second time he said, "The Lord told me it's flat out none of your business." So all right, well, get down with your bad self. Yes. Yeah, so rest in peace to Jimmy. All right.
I don't know what the answer is. You
there
know,
are no
there
answers.
Are people who, you know.
There aren't
King
even
Solomon
decent questions.
King Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines, so I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know?
The upkeep is a bitch. All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right, so yeah, man, I'll tell you what. So Donnie Swaggart, his son, and Gabriel, his other son, two other sons, are making preachers, and that makes them, I think, the fourth generation of this stuff. So sure enough, in terms of giving us a lot of mirth, absolutely, a lot of guidance. Well, I'll leave that to you. 888-876-5593. More on the Whispers coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, more whispers, more often. That's the dip. 1965 on Dory. Yeah, great, great stuff. All right, so what more whispers as we celebrate the wonderful life of Walter Scott, which sadly has now come to an end. All right, so happy birthday, Johnny Goen, today. Yeah, And he was listening last night, so yes, he heard your comments about a show, which is universally loved, I'll tell you what. And that's Sunday nights from 6 to midnight on HoustonPlatinumRadio.com. And check that out. Don't forget. So happy birthday, Johnny. I hope you did something fun today. It's Houston Radio Platinum, not Platinum Radio. Houston Radio Platinum. He's got to change it. All right. Easy. You can go directly there, and you can just do soulofthecity.net or soulofthecityusa.com. That'll get you right there, since clearly I'm not going to be capable of remembering HoustonRadioPlatinum.com for reasons that elude me. But I'm really worried that I'm not alone on that. All right, Cleveland Dennis and Elgin bringing back wonderful memories of Rex Humbard. All right, Cleveland Dennis.
Correcto, that's right. I was listening to the discussion about these TV evangelists and all, but Rex Humbard had the Cathedral of Tomorrow in Akron.
Which ain't, yeah. I thought it was in Cleveland Heights or something. The Akron thing was Grace Cathedral. That was Angeli who bought Cathedral of Tomorrow.
Well, I don't know about those purchases. All I know, I started out at Cleveland Hopkins Airport. It was like, mm-hmm. let's say, 1975. Mm-hmm. And I had to go down there and pick up or drop off some kind of special recording. We'd get it from England, and then they would give it a recording. We'd send it over there. They tricked it up, send it back, and they were to make, I don't know, multiple copies. It was before the VHS era. Anyhow, when I went down there, Pat Boone was in the studio.
Okay.
Like doing some singing or recording. I don't know. I was only there like 10 or 15 minutes. I got to say hi to him, drop off the special electronic tape, whatever it was.
Right.
Pick something up and it was done.
In Cuyahoga Falls. That's where it was. Cathedral of Tomorrow, Cuyahoga Falls. Yeah. Now, were you around?
Area, right.
Were you around when he tried to build the rotating tower restaurant? Oh, God.
And I kind of vaguely heard about that.
Yeah, and then he was going to put on his own UHF TV show, TV station, Channel 55, and apparently the SEC investigated him, and then the FCC deleted the authorization, and they didn't ever complete the rotating tower. But today it's a cell phone tower as far as that goes. But before he had this Cathedral of Tomorrow, he had a girdle factory, all right, in Akron, believe it or not. And he had an advertising agency and other things, but then he got into the Lord and found out how profitable that would be. And yes, it was Ernest Angeli who had Grace Cathedral who bought Cathedral of Tomorrow.
That's interesting, because out of Rex Humbard and all that, we had Oral Roberts people fly into Cleveland because they wanted to work with us for sending goods, I guess relief goods or religious goods. I remember he did an air freight container of Bibles mm-hmm. to West African country. Can't even remember it. That's a long time ago. That's like 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I know. They used to bicycle the tapes from station to station. And, you know, when you mentioned Rex Humbard, it reminded me of Jack Van Impey's wife, Rexella. This is another one from the televangelism community who I always claimed looked a little more like Tammy Faye's poodle, but you just never know. All right. So
okay.
Yes.
So, wait. I have a question for you. Why did you, like, follow all that to see what was going on?
I found it hilarious. In fact, it's interesting because I had for a while lived with a radio consultant, Bill Drake, and the thing that got us together was not anything like Boss Radio that I never really did like, but it was his love for televangelism. And I said, well, you know, I drew hot clocks. He said, so did I. And so so we used to know exactly when they were going to beg. And watched them all, never missed a one of them.
Yeah, I was able to catch some of those even back, probably 30 years ago, because the begging part, and when she cried,
oh,
with
yeah.
the eye makeup on, and it all dripped down.
Well, right. And
that was incredible.
The best
incredible.
Crier was Jan Crouch. In fact, I think that she gave Tammy Faye the makeup tips. But Jan Crouch was married to Paul Crouch. They had Trinity. And her hair was an interesting color that sort of matched the rug. It was some type of a violet color that I really couldn't understand. But nonetheless, yeah, Trinity was quite the effort. But there were so many more. Now, in Florida, there was a guy, the Reverend Reverend Roosevelt Franklin and his wife Delano. And the Reverend Roosevelt Franklin had the Prosperity Hour, and what he was pitching was God's blessing plan. You send me $20, God will give you $40. Whatever you send me, God's going to give you. So get on with God's blessing plan and send me the money now. You know, and then
I was intrigued in the late 60s with CKLW with Reverend Ike.
Well, he was actually pretty polished compared to a lot of them. Well, but yeah, and then there was Benny Hinn in Orlando. He was quite the one also. I don't know whatever happened to him, but there were so many.
No idea.
And
I want to say before I leave, thank you for playing the Hesitation.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite Hesitation song.
Yeah, that was good. But I have a request. How about we swing over to thinking about the communists in Russia? Moscow at Midnight, Kenny Ball.
All right. It won't be tonight, but I'll be happy to play that. I like it.
No, but would you know anything about him? I mean, he's an American artist, I take it, right? Or British, maybe, but... He had that one hit, and that song, instrumental as it may be,
he was British, by the way. He was British.
Yeah, British, okay.
And he was not, clearly not a rock and roller. His band was Kenny Ball and his Jazzmen, and he was born in like 1930. So it's a little before what most of us were listening. And he was, you know, like everybody else. He played in a bunch of bands. He worked at an advertising agency, that kind of stuff. And he had a Dixieland band at the UK. And they were kind of, at that period of time, we're talking like 1959, 1960, there was like a jazz revival. And so Kenny Ball's group played, the Dixieland band, played a Cole Porter song. And not one that we would hear very often here. But anyway, it became a hit. And then he followed it with Midnight in Moscow. And
Midnight in Moscow, about what, 62?
I think it was like released in fall of 61. It charted in spring of 62, yeah. Sold over a million copies. And then it went bad. Then the next thing he did was March of the Siamese Children, you know, from The King and I. And, right. And so it wasn't, he was a one-hit wonder here, but he had other stuff there. And, you know, you'd see him in concert, like with Frank Ifield and Cliff Richard or something like that. And, you know, he was very big at jazz events and things like that. And I think he was on one of Louis Armstrong's European tours. But it was the band was absolutely unbroken success. I mean, they played all the time. Acker Bilk, Chris Barber couldn't hold a candle to Kenny Ball, but no American hits. And so he toured until right before he died, and I think that was with Acker Bilk. And I think he was in his 80s. I think he died about 10, 12 years ago now. But anyway, that was the deal. So the Jazzmen was the group.
Well, appreciate that you play it. Thank you for the information.
Sure, happy to.
And there was another one I heard recently by the Five Royales, but I think I'm going to have to get back to you on that one.
I love the Five Royales. That's
I know.
That's Loman Pauling, of course. Well, of course, that's the original dedicated to the one I love. And he wrote Tell the Truth, Think. They did the original Think. They were Baby Don't Do It. And that was a great song. And Monkey Hips and Rice. Loved that. Trying to think of what else he did. But anyway, if you can think of the songs and it wasn't Think.
Oh, the Five Royales. I'm thinking Behave Yourself.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what I heard. If you could find that one somewhere, I think the fans would like it. I think they would love it.
Yeah, that was on King, and that was in like the mid 50s. I've got that. I've probably got this on this computer, so I'll get it for you this week.
Beautiful.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So yes, indeed. All right. 888-876-5593. Steve Bryant is in Las Vegas. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How you feeling, Steve?
Hi, Raleigh. I'm doing okay. I have a date for the hip replacement surgery. It's the 22nd of this month.
Oh, all right. Well, good luck on that. All right.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I walk. I had to be approved by my primary care physician, and I think it took me like 10 minutes to walk into his office. I think that was what he said. I think I better approve this.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, his job was to approve you to be able to survive the general anesthesia, so he looked at that, didn't he?
Right. Well, kind of. I mean, kind of. I mean,
No. Kind of is not the answer I want there. No, this is serious.
It's all approved. They did all the tests. Okay. They did the EKG, the whole nine yards, and everything. But I'm a fatalist. If you die during surgery, you don't know.
Yeah, but
so it's okay.
Well, you may, but you're probably somewhere better. But the problem isn't if you die. It's when you survive and things have gone wrong. I never worry about the dying part. It's staying here with problems. Yeah,
that's true. If I wake up with the intellect of a rutabaga,
right?
But
well, you won't know.
Well,
but there are other ways you could wake up that you'd rather wake up on the other side. So good luck on that.
Well, thanks. Fingers crossed. Well, they did all the things, the blood work, the whole nine yards.
Right.
So we did it fast. But you're talking about televangelists, which has always fascinated me, and I mentioned several names that I know and appreciate. But when I was in college, my mother moved to Phoenix, and during break, I drove her car out to Phoenix to her from the Philadelphia area, and I was listening at night to XEG.
Uh-huh.
You can get them anywhere, and of course, my favorite was Reverend Bob, the Cowboy Evangelist.
Yes, okay. Now, it's interesting.
He was great, and...
Interesting you say that, because as soon as you said XEG, which of course is Monterey, the guy, his son later had a radio network, but the guy whose basic religion was don't eat what you like and hate your mother. Now, what trying to think of his name. Roy Masters.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was also XEG. But yes, Reverend Bob, absolutely.
Reverend Bob. And his pitch was brilliant. You know, and coming from the world of advertising or going into it there after college, I always remembered his pitch. He said, now, don't you send me any money. I don't want your money. Don't send it. Send me your name and address, and I will send you a genuine prayer cloth.
Yes.
I'll send you a genuine bottle of holy water, you know, and you will be blessed forever, but don't send me any money. I'm seeing these little ladies writing checks for many figures.
Right,
you know,
right, exactly.
Well, the kick was... Now, I'm doing a radio show on WMGM. So I did a little evangelist in the show. Yeah.
Oh, no. I know what's coming. Oh, no.
Percival Pontoon. Hi, everybody. I'm Percival Pontoon.
Oh, God.
You know, radio evangelist of the air here. Don't you send me your money. Raleigh, I was pulling down $200-$300 a month.
Oh, absolutely.
and Howard Green, who owned the station, used to say to me, you get a lot of fan mail. That's great. I said, yeah. Thank God he didn't open any of it. I'd be in jail.
Oh, man. Well, but, you know, we all had to run the God Squad hours. Everybody in radio had to do that at one point or another. And so I tried it 1 week. God, this is true confessions. And I remember... Black or Jew, Catholic or whatever, you know, Mother Francis loves you. And anyway, I got money. Well, needless to say, I did not cash the checks, but some of it was like cash. So,
the cash was great. And I think I did this for about a year while I was doing the radio show on WMGM. I figure I was owed something for when the swamp used to flood in Pleasantville, the fire company would pull a truck up and give us hip waders so we could wade into the station.
Oh God, yes. Oh God. No, I remember those stations. But yeah, I was just thinking about it. I guess it was Black or Blue, Catholic or Jew. We don't care. Mother Francis loves you. Send your money. And so I just did that between, you know, like the Portuguese hour or something and a Scandinavian hour that I accidentally ran backwards once. But nonetheless, yeah, I never expected I'd get mail. So, yeah.
Well, that's it. And one quick aside. We used to, I pulled the Sunday morning duty sometimes, and you had to run those tapes. And there was one tape from, I think, the old Lighthouse Mission. I think that was
okay.
It. And there, every story was the same. It was a young girl who would run away from home because her parents didn't understand her. And some kindly truck driver would pick her up. Yeah. And it would be like, oh, get in, little darling. You know, I got a little girl just like you, and I've always wanted, you know, and then they fade the music out. Well, with the late, great Jessica Savage, who was on radio in Atlantic City back in those days, she stopped by one day, and we were goofing about it, and I said, well, let's edit one. So we edited one where when the truck driver picks her up, there's an actual sex scene.
We got away with it.
No complaints. That's just how many people are listening.
Oh,
but
God.
Yeah, what do you think? Little girl just like you, and then it got real.
Oh God.
So anyway, but yes, the world of broadcast evangelists just an endless supply of material.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, all the stations took those shows. And you're right, they bicycled the tapes. And see, that was one thing. Mm-hmm. You were supposed to then mail them to the next guy. Of course, half the time I'd steal the tapes to put my oldies on it and stuff. But but yeah, I remember that's how I ran the Scandinavian hour backwards, because I didn't understand at that point the difference between, you know, tails out. And so I just queued it up,
right.
And it sounded like a Scandinavian language. You know, how the hell was I supposed to know it was back? Somebody, people were screaming, and I thought they were upset with the host. So,
we have so much in common. When I went from WMGM to WAYV, and beautiful music, and every show was the Schulke Programming Service, SPS or something like that.
Oh yeah, you know, Schulke was number one in easy listening. Yeah, with Schaefer with Schaefer Automation, of course.
With these giant 15-inch reels.
Yeah, yeah.
And many nights, just for the heck of it, I would play one backwards.
Oh, that's great.
And nobody ever
said a word.
Called,
yeah.
No. Just all the cadences were wrong in the music, but everything other than that, it was fine.
Yeah, not a word. Yeah, it does make you wonder. But most of those stations, of course, they were usually the number one FM station in the market, and it was people listening during the day. But it was Schulke, like I say, with that Schaefer Automation with the carousel carts and all that. I remember so well.
Exactly.
But occasionally, you'd get an owner who would call it not beautiful music, good music. Now, you were in trouble when you got that guy, because we want a second of downtime in between the cuts so the listener can establish themselves. What do you mean, establish themselves? What, like
good
get a home
Lord.
Loan? And so anyway, yeah. But yeah, you'd have that. So I remember it all far too well.
Indeed. Well, I wanted to share that with you, and keep my fingers crossed. I'll call you on the 23rd.
Yes, you better. You'd better. You're now on the prayer list, and I don't even need the prayer cloth.
Well, thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
I'll use a genuine holy water.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And piece of the original cross, suspiciously like a toothpick. All right, thanks.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. Yeah, you know, that's how Wolfman made his money at first. And actually, it's how Wolfman made his money only when he was on the Mexican stations. And that's how he lost everything, of course, when somebody was really upset with him. And they banned Evangelist from the radio, and he literally lost it all in the Tijuana station. And then as soon as he lost the station, everything, gee, suddenly it's okay to have evangelists. And Radio Bonaire and the Lesser Antilles 800, they had a crop of interesting denizens. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Of the wonderful love. a tear begins to fall as I think of how you love me, yeah. Love me.
WGN Radio, I'm Holly James. Enjoying that just a little too much, I think. Yeah, that's the Whispers. Yeah. Walter Scott at his finest. And as I sit here, a funny story about that. We were, John and I were at a pizza joint about 10 years ago now. But I'll never forget it. It's almost like it was yesterday. And we're sitting there, and they, you know, got some type of Muzak type thing. And Muzak, clearly, for which they weren't paying rights. And all of a sudden, on it comes As I Sit Here. Now, let's face it, this is not a common record. And so I get all excited. And so I go to the, said to the, you know, the waitress, what's that service? What are you using? And she, I don't know. She goes and tells the manager. The next thing I know, the cook has flown out the back door. They thought I was like busting them for performing rights. And all I wanted to know is what service would have added As I Sit Here. And I never found out. 1965 on Dory. But yeah, they scrambled. Went back in there several times. No music. Yeah, I'll tell you what. But somebody was, and since then, I actually have heard it on a couple music sources. But at the time, I'd never heard that on one. And I was just delighted and couldn't wait to find out what. And yeah, I'll be waiting a lifetime. All right, we're going to get to Linda in Richland Park and Eduardo in Tampa and John in Covington. But, you know, wonderful talking with Steve Bryant, of course, as always. And, you know, XCG was great, but of course, XERF, which was the original scene of Wolfman Jack and all that, but and originally back in the day was Dr. Brinkley and the goat gland operations and all that. But in the 60s, they had wall-to-wall preachers. And there was one that, it's the all-time best story. You've probably heard preachers do this, you know, put one hand on the radio and one hand on the pot that ails. One hand on the radio, one hand on the pot that ails. Well, this guy realized that 25 hertz would not be audible to me or virtually any listener. However, the rumble would make the radio vibrate. And so this guy had this whole thing, put your hand on the radio, feel the power of the Lord, you know, all that. And then he'd hit the cart and the 25 hertz would tone would cause the radio to rumble. And man, those donations flew in there. And unfortunately, there were times it would cause the transmitter to overload and go off the air. But other than that, it was just terrific. So yeah, no shortage of that. 888-876-5593. Linda in Richland Park, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I'm enjoying your show, but I had to put my little two cent in on the evangelist because my mother, she did not believe in those TV evangelists at all, you know.
Right.
So, like Reverend Ike, and there was another guy was called Father Divine, and I don't know if you ever heard of him and Jim Jones and all those.
Oh, of course. Mother, well, Jim Jones, of course. Sadly, that was a very bad end.
Yeah, he was a nut. But my mother, she never allowed us to listen to them, you know, believe in what they said or send any money.
But by the way, I remember Father Divine, the Reverend M.J. Divine, and he died like in the mid-60s, though. He's been gone a long time.
Right. But they say he still got some followers.
Well, you know, so, if you remember, he came on the radio and said that he was God in the flesh.
You know what? My cousin, I had a cousin. We were real close. We grew up together, and we come from a Christian family.
Yeah.
So they used to have in our hometown these tent meetings, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he we were, like, walking, passing by, and there's this big, huge tent. All these people were coming, and we were listening, and we come with a brilliant idea. And I said, well, I said, we could make us a lot of money. We could do the same thing they do because we've been raising the church all our lives. We know the right things to say.
Yeah.
He said, yes, we would. He said, we got to have some names for ourselves, and maybe we can get us a tent rent and get us some flyers and make us some dough. I said, yeah, that would be nice. And so what we did, we made up our names, and my name was going to be Sister Fayetta.
Sister Fayetta. It has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, and then he was going to Brother Pete, and he was so funny. He was had been in the military, come out of the Marines, and he was just a funny guy. And when we went and had to the printing agency and had up some flyers, we really had built up our nerve to do this. We had some flyers made up, and somewhere or another, my mother found out about it, and boy, were we in trouble.
Oh, no.
She said, it's time now. It's the BTA. Oh, Lord. You know what that is. That's the belt to the A, you know?
Yep, yep.
My mother said, don't you dare. Don't you dare try. She took those flyers and burned them up. And we said, well, Pete, I said, we did a bad thing. We have to ask God to forgive us for that. And from to this day, he died last year, and he was still calling me Sister Fayetta when he would call me.
Oh,
hey,
that's great.
Sister Fayetta.
That's great.
I said, hey, Brother Pete. But the thing of it is, they have a lot of those people, they just send that money like crazy. And it's a shame. But you were saying something about Benny Hinn, because my uncle used to love Benny Hinn.
Oh, Benny
Hinn. I don't know.
Yeah, they're all about the same. But Father Divine, my favorite deal, other than being God in the flesh, he had this deal where he was arrested and charged for disturbing the peace. I think his real name was like George Baker or something. And they gave him a year in jail, the judge. And he got on the radio. He called the judge a menace to society. Well, a couple days later, the judge died. He had a heart attack.
And ain't that something?
Right, Father Divine gets on the radio and takes credit for the death. He said, I hated to do it, but I just had. And he said, I asked the judge to let the Lord into his heart, but he refused, and he had to die. And
you know, those people are really brainwashed. And you know, the people that follow these TV evangelists, they're brainwashed too.
Well, of course.
Just like you said, Pueblo Dollar.
Right.
Yeah, I can't stand it. I look at none of that stuff. I just can't stand it. But like Joyce Myers, I didn't like her. I was like you. I used to listen to all of them. I would just be checking them out, you know. Never send no money. But I said, I want to catch one and see if they lying, you know. So I was listening to their program, you know, so...
I loved it. Loved it when Ernest Angley would heal people at Grace Cathedral by bopping them on the head. But what happened in a couple of cases, the people fell down before he bopped. And so you knew it was a bit. And I mean, it's like, come on, get better timing on this. And so...
Right, and they would practice and have people in wheelchairs. Like, they're walking now.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
get up and dance. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, the Lord heal me. You know, I said, God going to get them... But like my mother said, you know, we have to stand on our own beliefs. And you have to let your ankle hold. You don't go following other people and other foolish stuff. You read the Bible, whatever you want to read. That's what you read for yourself and your beliefs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, but
there,
go direct.
There was one teacher. He was not a TV minister, but he was a good, he knew the Bible, and I always did love him, I still do love him, and I studied with him, because I studied the Bible with him, and that was the Shepherd's Chapel.
Okay.
And that was in Arkansas, Gravett, Arkansas, Arnold Murray.
Okay.
He wasn't a TV evangelist, but he just would go study the Bible with you every day, verse by verse. You know,
right.
Chapter
right.
by chapter. But he died a couple of years back, but he was really good. He knew that Bible.
But I think his son Dennis is still doing it.
Yeah, well, Dennis got a speech impediment. Yeah. He's trying.
Yeah.
But they didn't try to collect money and become multimillionaires and all that stuff. They just teach the Bible. So I really do like to study, but he died, and I can't catch Dennis because it don't come on over here in Illinois. Yeah. So that's kind of rugged, but I was just thinking about that. So I was kind of guilty. Like you said, you was kind of guilty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I wish you could have pulled it off. Yeah. Yeah,
My mother would have skipped up alive. But like, you know, everybody got to, you got to, God count on you. Whoever you call your savior or whoever, you let your anchor hold. But there's a song that Stevie Wonder, he sings with the Five Live Boys.
Uh-huh.
Love Me Like a Rock. Do you remember that song?
Of course.
Love Me Like a Rock. Yeah, that's what he was talking about, let your anchor hold. But that's a good song. If you ever get a chance, play it.
Yeah, the original, the Dixie Hummingbirds, Loves Me Like a Rock.
Yeah, that's the Dixie Hummingbirds, yeah.
All right, I'll do it.
That was pretty good. All right, well,
thanks.
I love your show.
Thanks
all
for
right,
calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, so many. Now, in L.A., of course, Gene Scott, and I started a fan club for him, the Genies, but Pastor Gene Scott was, he owned television stations, and the FCC ultimately stripped the licenses. And the reason they did is that he was raising money for one purpose and doing something else with it, like buying racehorses. But what he did when they were after him was he got wind-up monkeys and had a little nameplate on each of them with the name of a commissioner. And he said, "You're going to give me money. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do with that money. I'm going to use that money to give the government hell." And it was a great bit. But this guy really knew the Bible. I mean, he was demented as could be, but absolutely knew the Bible. And I knew him through a third party. A gal I worked with had a close friend who was not his mistress. It wasn't like that at all. She was very good looking. He paid her to have dinner with him every night for like 20 years. And it was strictly a dinner companion and all that. But then after that, he met this woman of interesting background. We'll just leave it at that. And after he died, she's taken over. And man, oh man, she's a good show. I'll tell you what. Yeah, and I'm trying to think of what her name is. Obviously, Gene Scott's wife. I should look that up, see if I can find that, because if you're into this televangelism stuff, this could be fun. She's on it regularly. Pastor Scott on his stations. And Melissa Scott, that was it. Melissa Scott. And she's the full-time manager at Faith Center, pastor at the Faith Center now. And so, you can check that out and absolutely have a good time by all. All right, so I digress. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Karen in Chicago. We'll get to Eduardo in Tampa, John in Covington, and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Searching in vain. You know you're searching in vain. Yeah, girl, is it possible in this wicked world?
Is it possible?
Find a little faithfulness in just one sweet girl.
Is it
faithfulness?
Possible?
It's so hard to find. Like peace of mind, it's like trying to find.
Needle in a haystack.
Somebody show me mercy, yeah.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Needle in a Haystack. You know, the Whispers recorded that at least three times. The best version was on Dory and in 1967, but I don't think this is it. I think this is a flip side on Janice from 71 or 72, or it could be the Soul Clock version, but there were three different ones, and the Dory one was the best, but the production on it was just painful, unfortunately. But yeah, good stuff. And I've seen ads, by the way, for Needle and Haystack Soul Clock original. Well, yeah, that's one of three. All right, I'll have to see if I can find the Dory one and play it for you tomorrow night. And of course, rest in peace, Walter Scott. Yeah, very, very sad. So I was just looking up the background of Melissa Scott, who took over for her, and I remembered this this deal. She denies it, but there's stuff out, and I've seen this for 25 years now. It claims that she was originally a porn star named Barbie Bridges, and a lot of people confirmed this, and she was allegedly married to Paul Pastore, who also worked in adult entertainment. She denies all of it, including Barbie Bridges. So I guess you can get the movies, and then you can watch her, and you can decide for yourself. But I will tell you, she does know about 20 languages. Just amazing. All right, I know there's a lot of jokes there. We're going to leave them all aside and go to John in Covington. Hello, John.
Hey, Raleigh. First of all, I wanted to thank you for you told me about Danny Williams.
Yeah.
It was very nice. Yeah, I was impressed with the Paint Your Wagon song, I Talk to the Trees.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know that one
yeah.
or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh, he did an excellent job on that. The other one I was impressed with was Moon River. And that song, I'd seen Henry Mancini interviewed, and that song is in the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Uh-huh.
And the actress, Audrey Hepburn, Henry Mancini taught her how to play the ukulele, and she sings Moon River for about, I don't know, he had to teach her like three different chords on the ukulele, which I thought pretty neat because she doesn't know anything about the, you know, she's got to learn this instrument, she's got to learn the song, she's got to stay in character. It's just a really good movie. And anyway, here in Cincinnati, we had W.B. Grant. Were you around when he was?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
Oh, of course.
What a con man. Oh,
well,
there
were so many. Now, I'm trying to think, who was the guy who had, a preacher who had that department store? Well, it's kind of a hardware store. But, yeah, I'm trying to think of who he was. He was my favorite of all of them. why can't I? I think it was, it's going to come to me here in a moment. Right after the news, I will.
WB, he used to, when he would heal people and then he'd start talking in tongues.
My God. Absolutely, yes.
I used to die laughing. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, now, this is going to drive me crazy, all right? So after the news, I will come back and hopefully tell you, because otherwise I'm going to be up all night.
All right. Well,
thanks.
I wouldn't let it bother me that much.
But it will. All right. Thanks. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. And John will know exactly who I mean, because this guy was a celebrity in Cincinnati. All right. So why can't I think of it? Because my mind up and left me decades ago. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, we're with the Whispers, but we've moved to Soul Clock. And yeah, that was a double-sided record, and I thought both sides were wonderful. What Will I Do? And Remember Me, which you'll probably hear next, 1969. And rest in peace, Walter Scott. All right, so Karen is in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I just wanted to let you know, and I understand where Steve is. I'm going to have a hip replacement.
Really? When?
Yeah, I'm going to find out Friday when it will be scheduled. I've already seen the pulmonary doctor and the cardiologist, and they've both given me the okay. So I'll see the surgeon on next Monday, and then I'll get the date, and I'm going to see.
Ooh, your cell phone is just really, really killing you. I'm not sure I can understand what you're saying, and you've waited so long, too. I'm so sorry.
Is it doing any better?
No. Well, I heard, is it doing any better? So that's a whole sentence. That's the first whole sentence we've gotten.
Okay. Oh, well, okay. Anyhow, I'm having the hip replacement. And I've seen the cardiologist, and I've seen the pulmonary doctor. I'm going to see the surgeon on Monday, who will tell me when he can schedule it. And I guess the last round is the primary care doctor.
Yes.
And I'm really in a lot of pain.
I hate to hear that, but the primary care doctor is one of the most important in the mix, because they've got to find out that you can tolerate the general anesthesia.
Yeah, and well, I've been through it before. I had the left hip replaced.
But that was then, and this is now. So we just want them to do the tests and make sure all's good.
Right, and do you remember the 700 Club?
Oh, of course, absolutely. Pat Robertson. I remember when that started at that little station in Tidewater, when he wanted 700 people to give him money so that he could, you know, get that on the air. Of course I remember the 700 Club. Yeah, and then over the years, of course, that became an empire with a university and everything else, and he had a sidekick for a while, and yeah, absolutely I remember it.
Well, shortly after my first husband and I were married, he had some friends who were really hooked on the 700 Club. Oh, boy, everybody should listen. And they had a whole group of them. And the next thing I knew, I was just being bombarded with this garbage. And my husband fell for it. And he wanted to go. And I said, well, I'll go to the prayer meetings with you. But I don't know. I want to get caught up. I was Catholic. And, well, I went with them and found out they needed a musician. I played the accordion, and the hymns were easy to learn, so I played for them. And I said, well, I don't even... Well, finally, it just got worse and harder to believe. And at one point, they wanted to heal me, and I said, no, no, back off. And finally, the thing that took care of the whole deal was one day they decided to exorcise one of the group. And it freaked me out. And fortunately, the folks who were friends of my husband had a son who was about somewhere between 16 and 18. And he couldn't take it either. And he said, come on, Karen, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what are you going to do if your parents ask? He said, come on, we'll just tell them your guide dog had to go. And sure enough, we hightailed it out of there. And we waited in their car. And when the parents, of course, they knew I couldn't deal with it. So he didn't say anything. He didn't get angry or anything. But, of course, the parents said, where were you? Why did you take off like that? And he said, well, Celia had to go. And we were afraid to come back in the middle of it. So he got out of it, too.
That's hilarious. I love it.
I never saw people carry on like that. It was unreal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I could tell you stories all night. I had a friend who decided he would actually go to work there as a salesman, selling time. And oh man, were there stories. So yeah, including stopping work to have prayer meetings and all that stuff. Yes.
Oh man.
Yeah. Speaking in tongues and everything else. Yes.
They would have their prayer meetings in each other's homes. And one day, well, I volunteered, and what am I going to do? I'm in this group. Oh, my God, they came to our house. They were dancing all over the place and singing hymns. And I said to Dave, you know what? I want to know how long this is going to go, because I don't know if I can take any more.
Oh, absolutely.
And, yeah, they stuck around until about 7, and I think they didn't leave until 10:30, 11 o'clock. Boy, that time I had it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, good deal. Well, keep me posted on how it's going and how the hip replacement will go.
I sure will.
All
and
right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I hope you can understand me okay.
Well,
thank
it's,
you for
it's,
taking my call.
It's been a little underwater, but we got most of the words. All right,
I'm sorry,
thanks.
It's probably my battery going out.
I don't
thank
know.
Thank you so much.
I think it's bigger than you, but okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, man. I don't know if you caught that. Speaking of, can you hear me now? You know, the old Verizon slogan. Apparently, the president was upset with a conference call that didn't go well, and he just lambasted AT&T. The problem was that it probably was the service he was using for the conference call. Although, I can feel his pain. I'll tell you what. I'm still looking for this guy who was he's a preacher. He had a radio show. He had a business. I think it was in Middletown. I don't know if it was a hardware store or whatever. And this was the 1960s Cincinnati area. He was as well-known as it gets. And I'm just not coming up with it. You know, I mean, every town had him. Yeah, like Austin Burke in Miami. But who is this guy? Well, if you know, that's right. If you've been to Cincinnati, 60 years ago, maybe you'll recall. But yeah, I did radio commercials. Drive me crazy. All right, so 888-876-5593. Is Eduardo in Tampa still with us?
Hey, Raleigh. Good evening or good morning.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. If I don't finish on something, I'll just call back tomorrow. But I went to that Nova Southeastern. It was a meet and greet yesterday.
Right, right.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. So, obviously, we're going to be role-playing for students. We're going to be doing some whatever. When they get done with us, we get to do, like, note-taking about how the student was. And we got to stay there from like 7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Wow.
They provide lunch. Yeah, I actually did like a mock jury, and it was almost something like that because they provided lunch and they didn't let anybody go out. So,
okay.
Yeah, but yeah, so they're going to email us stuff, and then obviously like for the pay and all that, so you got to fill out forms and all that. So that's kind of like coming up in the weeks ahead, and probably like something in August is when they're going to start doing the call outs for people to come in.
Okay.
On certain dates. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a nice house. I mean, it's not going to be like something like every day, but
it sounds like it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I'm glad I found this place, and it's a nice side hustle. So, you know, once I get in there, I can give you more more details how it goes and all that. Because they give us a tour, you know, where you're gonna, you know, you put the gown on and
yeah,
the different rooms they showed you. They even showed they even had a room where it looked like a hospital bed.
Okay.
So looks like a very nice building. They said they built it in 2019.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well,
so right
I can't
there in Clearwater.
Can't wait to hear about this.
Yeah. Hey, I got to tell you, too, I'll talk about the Banishing Florida Americana tomorrow or Thursday, but I didn't know the Vatican had an observatory. Did you know that?
Yeah. Cash Ambergy.
Yeah, I didn't know
Cash
that.
Cash Ambergy was his name. Now, by the way, John in Covington is going to know exactly who I mean. It was a furniture store. Cash Ambergy. All right. Okay, I feel better now. All right. Sorry about that. But yes, they do.
Yeah. That's something, yeah. I guess in their retreat area over there in outside of Rome, they have this. Yeah, it's called Palace of Castel Gandolfo, something like that.
Oh, now, by the way, I just came up with Cash Ambergy, and John just came in to say to me, oh, yeah, John called to tell me that. Well, hell, my mind's been going a mile an hour. Why didn't you let me know before this? All right, sorry about that. So anyway, yes, absolutely. Astronomical research and public outreach. It is advanced technology telescope and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
1891, yeah, look at that. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Okay, time's running short here. I'll call back tomorrow or Thursday.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay,
yep,
bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it is interesting. You can check it. It was originally based at the Roman College, and then they moved it, and it's in Italy. It's not. I don't think it's in Vatican City, but it's there, Mount Graham, and they've got the Mount Graham thing in Arizona. Actually, I think that's Safford. But so yeah, there's a whole thing there. All right, so yeah, that's a technical way of putting it. I'm so upset that you didn't even tell me it was Cash Ambergy. Oh, my. All right, it did drive me crazy. Then I thought of it. So Tubby in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio. Tubby.
Oh, yeah, I'm right here. I didn't hear you say my name.
Yeah.
How are you, Raleigh?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm okay. How's John?
Yeah, can't complain.
I know that's right. It's been hot.
Yeah, that's boy.
Really hot. How did y'all get on that, all them evangelists?
I have no idea. It just, one thing led to another. You know how that is.
Yeah.
I do know. Cindy called to mention that Jimmy Swaggart died. That's how it started.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Father Divine. What was his geographic location, do you know? Father Divine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was in a few places. Let me tell you what. This guy moved around, and he was from Maryland, but he died in Philadelphia, I think. But he was all up in that area there. So, yeah, Philadelphia and...
Yeah.
Outside of Philadelphia, the Allentown area too. I mean, all around that Philadelphia area. Then he when he was young, and this is long before I was ever thought about, he traveled the South, and this would be like before World War I. He was traveling the South, and then he wound up in Brooklyn for a while, and I think he places in New York that I couldn't find. And one of those places in New York, I think, had to do with where he was, was arrested and all that kind of stuff. And we talked about that. The idea that that he claimed he was responsible for the judge's death. You know, remember that? So, oh man, that was hilarious. But that was somewhere in you couldn't find on a map. And then he went to Harlem after that. So he was around though. This guy was, and then Philadelphia. Like he was in Philadelphia when he died. And in fact, the Johnny Mercer song, song, Accentuate the Positive and Eliminate the Negative, that comes from a Father Divine sermon. And
oh, really?
Yeah, what it was Johnny Mercer had come to Philadelphia to hear one of Divine's sermon, and the subject was you got to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. And Mercer thinks, wow. And when he went back to Hollywood, he got together with Harold Arlen, the guy who did Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and they wrote Accentuate the Positive. And that was a hit by the Andrews Sisters and Bing Crosby and the Pied Pipers. So yeah, he was around. Then there was Mother Divine. He married some Canadian woman in D.C. and she was. But they were in the suburban, like mainline areas of Philadelphia. A lot of it. So yeah, a lot of places.
I'm gonna tell you who tickles me is that guy who comes on my my boyfriend Will. He like this guy that come on that plant the seed. Man, they be driving it all the way home about to plant the seed. You know, you spend in so much money.
Yeah.
And he tells all these stories about how he has such good fortune with the money and the da da da.
Yeah.
They took a out of me with that. I was like, you know what happened? It's like it really doesn't, I don't care either way or the other, but it's like, oh, I've written all these songs. I can't think of that guy's name. I was gonna tell you, you know who I'm talking about though. He said he wrote all these gospel songs and camp meeting and all that kind of stuff. That's what they call their show. The camp meeting.
Absolutely.
But I mean, it's just like, you know, some people really need a connection. So, you know, like they say in the program, live and let live.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely,
you know
that's true. But yeah, I mean, Jimmy Swaggart, who just died, fits that camp meeting genre very well, but there are so many. And there was Leroy, a guy named Leroy, God's Got an Army, and he was around too. So there were a bunch of them.
Yeah, but like I said, some people really need it. Like, you know, I think one of the things that the scriptures do press on is love. That people have a need for love.
Oh, sure.
And that's one of the big commandments of the Lord is that we love each other. You know, and we may not understand the intricacy of it, but we need it also. But you know, to be able to manifest that is really, really important. So some people, and a lot of people, are on the lonely end of life.
Oh,
all over the place.
Of course, and you know, that's the Lord works in mysterious ways. You never know who's going to be the conduit. That part is true.
Right, and you know, and you never know. It's like people, I'm going to tell you something. Speaking on that, it's just like when I first heard your show.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I looked forward, like I said, I would have my radio on for when I came in the house. You guys would be. You would be engaged with people. They do things, and it's not a hobby. It's more serious.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because everybody does not have somebody who's always checking on them.
Right.
They don't have the social life or the connection that they need. And it's not just because of illness. It's just like everybody doesn't fit in with everybody, you know?
Yes.
And it's kind of that whole thing with these shows, they felt needed somewhere. You know, they felt connected.
Sure.
You know, so it had a definite place whether they were money crooks or not. You see
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. It filled a big need for a lot of
people. Sure, absolutely. That's what I say. You never know who the conduit's gonna be.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wanna say, hey, I'm in a Frank and Beverly movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Frank Beverly fool. Whenever you get around to
okay, me. Yeah, maybe even back. I'll do it. Absolutely. I'm writing it down. It'll be this week.
Okay, Riley.
All right, Tubby, hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, good deal. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I'm not sure if I did this, but if I didn't, I'll do it now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We got about a minute left, and so that minute belongs to me telling Nick in Baltimore, I'm so sorry we didn't get to you. Will you call me earlier tomorrow night?
I'll give it a try.
Hope so. I'm so sorry, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
That's okay.
Well, all right. Bye-bye. Good deal. Now, so we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. 21 hours from now, we'll do it again. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.